welcome to the Do Not Comply edition of Brighton Broadcast News for Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023. I'm Mike Adams, your host. Thank you for joining me. We've got an interview coming up today with war correspondent Michael Yon, who joined me in studio for some bombshell information about the invasion of the United States and the treason of Mayorkas and Biden and others who are funding the invasion of the United States with illegals. So we're going to get to that. And we're also going to get to the fact that just as we warned yesterday, and Alex Jones has been warning about this, the TSA whistleblowers called into InfoWars last week, it turns out that they're going to push COVID 2.0. And it has already begun. We've got headlines today of a university or a college that's pushing mask mandates again. Oh, and it's happening in Hollywood, and the White House is pushing vaccines. And we've got more news about infrastructure under attack. A major attack on fertilizer infrastructure took place in Texas over the last day or so. So it's all coming up. But first, I want to clarify what happened with my attempted impersonation of Michael Jackson yesterday with the Billie Jean, two lines from Billie Jean. So in my defense, my editor played a little trick on me. So I recorded that without any music playing. Okay, just so you know, I was singing it in my own tempo, in my own voice, in my own, you know, key. Okay, and then my editor, because he likes to tease me and he likes to make things funnier than maybe they should be. I mean, I know it was a fail, but he made it a hilarious fail. So my editor, unbeknownst to me, he gets the Billie Jean song track and puts it in the background. Again, I had no idea this was going to happen. And of course, the tempo of the Billie Jean song is a little bit off from my tempo. So the effect is, it makes me sound like I'm a karaoke idiot who doesn't know how to keep the beat with the song. Well, I wasn't hearing that music when I was singing it myself. So, just in my defense, my editor played a little prank on me. Ha ha, very funny. And it kind of was hilarious. And we can do better than that if we coordinate it and we aren't pranking each other, by the way. But that's what happened yesterday, if you're wondering. Like, how come the health ranger can't sing with the beat? That's why. There was no beat. All right, also I want you to know that the next episode, actually two episodes of Decentralized TV, will be posted today. That's episodes 10 and 11. And episode 11 is with Scott Kesterson of Bards FM, talking about lots of things, private membership associations and liberty at the county level and decentralizing government back to the local level, all kinds of things. So that's a worthwhile interview. Check it out at decentralize.tv. It should be posted sometime today, and episode 10 should already be on there. Episode 10 is with Eric Polliner. It's mostly an episode of interest to those who run e-commerce or retail sales, point of sale. So if you're not really in the point of sale business, you know, if you're not an owner of stores, that episode may not be that interesting to you. Just giving you a heads up. But episode 11 with Scott Kesterson should be of interest to almost everybody. So check that out. Okay, now one little news tidbit here. Oliver Anthony's song, The Rich Men North of Richmond, has made Billboard chart history. It's the first ever artist to take the very top spot, number one, with no prior charting history. So congratulations to Oliver Anthony and his song, Rich Men North of Richmond, which, of course, takes aim at child trafficking and corruption and money, money printing, effectively inflation and all this garbage and just the corruption of Washington, D.C. And this song has been growing on me, by the way. The first time I heard it, for me, I've heard all these lines before. This is nothing new because this is, I mean, basically he's singing my podcast in essence, right? I mean, I've been saying this for years and Alex Jones for decades and so on. So the words weren't new to me, but for a lot of Americans, the words are hitting home in a way that they never really had a chance to hear it said this way before. So Oliver Anthony has just been rocking it and is number one on Billboard with, I don't know, what does it say, 17.5 million streams of his song and 147,000 downloads. And that doesn't count the 30 or 50 million views on YouTube because it was uploaded under his manager's account. Oh, yeah, 30 million views. So he's ahead of Taylor Swift, thank goodness. I mean, Taylor Swift, give me a break. And, you know, this Richmond, North of Richmond, it's not a highly produced song, right? It's just, it's a guy playing his guitar with and recording it on an iPhone and just singing his heart out and telling the truth. And that resonates with people. So, you know, applause for Oliver Anthony. And it's also a sign that the American people are fed up, aren't they? They've just had enough. So the timing is right for the Do Not Comply movement to really start getting traction and rising up peacefully, but with determination. Because just as I said yesterday, they're rolling out COVID 2.0. So here's the story from the Post-Millennial. Breaking news. Black Atlanta liberal arts college called Morris Brown implements a mask mandate. Yeah, today. And social distancing measures amid new COVID scare. So this college, I mean, right on schedule, right? It's like they read the memo. They have a new mask mandate that they announced through official communication on Sunday, addressed to faculty, staff, and students. Comprehensive set of COVID-19 safety measures, including the mask requirement. These protocols will remain in effect for a span of 2 weeks, right? And then, of course, 2 weeks is going to become 2 months, and then 2 months is going to become 2 years, and then 2 years is going to become COVID 2.0, you know, on and on and on. You know how this goes. It's insane. So how stupid do these college administrators think that we, the people, really are? I mean, I don't honestly know the answer to that. I don't know the kind of people that go to this college, but hopefully they would learn to think for themselves and say, this is nonsense. I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not social distancing, not doing lockdowns on college campus, but they're pushing it. And I guess they're going to try to see how many people are gullible enough to go along with this a second time, you know, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me for letting you do it. Who is gullible enough to go along with this? I guess we're going to find out. So, also, right on schedule, here we go from Breitbart.com. COVID mandates return to Hollywood, or Hollywood, as Steve Quayle calls it. Lionsgate requires employees to mask up and submit to daily testing. So here we go with the fraudulent swabs again. Oh, would you like to be swabbed? You got to be swabbed to be on the set. And oh, open your mouth, yeah, or bend over. We don't know what they're doing, or both. COVID mask mandates are returning to Hollywood. Lionsgate's requiring employees who work at its headquarters in Santa Monica to wear masks at all times when in the building. Yeah, didn't they get the memo? Masks don't work. They don't stop infections. They don't prevent transmission. And the virus is a hoax. Anyway, I mean, the PCR test is a fraud. The swabs are a fraud. The whole thing is a fraud. The vaccines don't work. The vaccines don't prevent infections or transmission. How do these people not know this? And so now they're saying, once again, employees have to wear N95 masks. I mean, again, who's stupid enough to go along with this? Lionsgate. It should be called like Gates of Hell or Bill's Gate, perhaps, because we know who they're working for, the globalists. This, again, all the corporations, everybody got the memo, and they're rolling out COVID 2.0. Complete fiction, by the way. They know it's fiction, rooted in just false narratives, but they're pushing it. And here we go, also from Breitbart.com. Biden administration to urge all Americans, get a coronavirus booster shot now. ahead of what it claims is a new wave of infections. There's no new wave of infections. What are they talking about? They're making it up. Reuters reports the official said while the CDC reports an increase in infections and hospital admissions from the virus, overall levels remain low. Well, but that's not stopping Biden to tell you to go get your boosters. Go get your booster. Because, you know, Biden isn't reaching his depopulation goal of exterminating 70% of the U.S. population. He's falling behind on the mass murder genocide goal, you see. So he's got to figure out a way to get people to line up and sign up and jab up and then end up 6 feet under. So that's what this is all about. The official says, quote, "We will be encouraging all Americans to get those boosters in addition to flu shots and RSV shots." Oh, so now it's three things, you see. It's an annual COVID shot, and then it's a flu shot, and then it's an RSV shot, which makes no sense, given that COVID was just rebranded flu. So if flu shots worked, then nobody would have the flu, and they wouldn't have been able to relabel it COVID, and they wouldn't have been able to fake the whole COVID pandemic. By the way, this is all a fraud. You'd be better off having none of these shots and just having good nutrition, good immune function, take care of your health, take off the damn mask. That thing's probably infecting you more than anything else. And get outside, exercise, walk around, get some sunshine, get some fresh air. That's going to be better for you than just lining up like a moron and taking all these boosters and jabs. And people are going to get sick and die as designed as soon as they get these shots. You're going to see a bunch of people dying this fall. And of course, the media is going to say, well, death rate is up because of the new COVID strain, even though it's from the vaccines. Oh, they can always blame it on the imaginary COVID, can't they? Just amazing. The story says the president they're referring to, the man who self-identifies as the president, Joe Biden, got his fifth coronavirus shot live on camera. Even though he contracted and recovered from the virus in the previous July. Well, wait a second. If shots 1 through 4 worked, why do you need a fifth shot? And by the way, does anybody believe he's actually getting the same shot that is given everybody else? No. It's either a fake needle or it's saline solution. He's not getting the spike protein shot. Everybody with a brain knows that. And then the other thing is, if he already got COVID and he overcame COVID, why does he need a shot at all? Seems like the entire medical establishment has forgotten about the existence of the immune system and how that works. No surprise there. All right, here we go from warroom.org. Biden has already begun buying COVID-19 equipment, hiring pandemic safety protocol enforcers. These enforcers are going to run around society and they're going to, I guess, write tickets if you're not wearing a mask? Or they're going to, you know, round you up and throw you into a quarantine death camp if you're not social distancing. Oh, you're too close to that person. Come with us to the nice FEMA camp. It's a fun camp, Hillary Clinton says. It's a fun camp. We're going to have games there, kind of like disconnect the head from the body type of games involving guillotines, but whatever. It's a fun camp. That's what the enforcers are going to do. It's completely insane. Oh, by the way, I want you to tweet out, do not comply, if you have a Twitter account. Wherever you have accounts, hashtag do not comply, all one word. Do not comply. We're all going to be doing this. We are not complying with this BS tyranny. We're done with it. We're not putting on the stupid masks, which are just a symbol of obedience. We're not taking the death jabs. We're not social distancing. We're not locking down. We're not closing our gyms. No. We're done with your tyranny. And you can try to push it on the people, and the people are going to say no. Do not comply. So I want you to push that out on all your accounts. Getter, Gab, Truth Social, Brighton Social, Telegram, Twitter, whatever, Facebook, if you're still on Facebook for some reason. But wherever you are, push out, do not comply. We're done with the tyranny. In fact, in this case, obedience is death. And resistance is survival. Obedience to their agenda is death because they want to kill you. And now they're just presenting another opportunity with COVID 2.0, a new opportunity for people to line up and commit suicide, you know, government-assisted or vaccine-assisted suicide. So do not comply, and you have a much better chance of surviving this, by the way. I mean, can you believe these people? Really? Do they really think that more Americans are going to go along with this? And probably there will be some Americans who go along with this because, well, you know, brain dead zombies. What can you say? They've already been lobotomized by the first round of the jabs. Unbelievable. All right, we've got some other news about the sabotage against the United States of America. Got a story here from KWTX.com in Texas. What does it say? Military Order Purple Heart. I don't know why that's him. Okay. It's part of this news station here. American Plant Food Corporation plant fire. That couldn't possibly be a confusing headline. Contained as crews work to clear smolder in Bartlett. So Bartlett, Texas, the American Plant Food Corporation fertilizer plant fire. Okay, it's fertilizer plant fire. It has been contained, and they burned it to the ground. It's done. This fertilizer facility is done. Bartlett Mayor Chad Meese and Bartlett Volunteer Fire Department Fire Chief Stephen Wentrek on Monday said the fire department received the call, and when the crews arrived, the building was fully engulfed and help was sought from departments in surrounding areas. They worked to contain a 6-acre grass fire that was also the result of the fire at the plant. In other words, somebody set fire to the plant again. Like I said, there are black ops sabotage teams running around America setting things on fire. In fact, I ask Michael Yon this very question in the interview coming up today. And he says, yes, this is what they were taught in special forces, is when you're at war with, you know, a target region or nation, you just run around setting things on fire and you burn down the infrastructure. That's exactly what's happening to us, because our government is waging war against we the people. That's what's happening. Our government has become the terrorists, and the terrorism is just going to get amped up. The less you comply, the more terror they're going to unleash. So if you don't comply with the lockdowns, they might take out the power grid. And of course, blame, you know, right-wing conservatives or something. If you do not comply with the vaccines, you know, they might take out the banking system. Or they might unleash a biological weapon release in a major city and just, you know, kill a couple hundred thousand people. The less we comply, the more terrorism and violence the government is going to unleash upon us. And yet, we must not comply regardless of that. Because if you comply, you die. So resistance against tyranny is, in fact, your survival priority. And no matter what they do to try to burn down the fertilizer plants, burn down the food facilities, blow up the railroad tracks and the bridges and the refineries and shut down energy infrastructure and harm transportation and cause famine and starvation and power grid outages and whatever else they do, you need to have backup plans, just like we talk about here routinely. Backup plans of food, medicine, obviously, backup energy, backup communications, and so on. And as you know, for all these backup supplies, there are sponsors I recommend. I'm not going to go through the whole list or anything. Just remember, Satellite Comms is a satellite phone store, SAT123.com. And make sure, wow, my dog is really huffing and puffing. I don't know if you can hear that. It's hot outside. He just came in. Make sure you got backup supplies of food and real money, i.e. gold and silver, emergency medicine, solar generators and sources of local energy, things like that. Make sure you're squared away, because you're probably going to need it. The government is waging a total war against the American people. So don't you wonder, I guess you probably know the answer, but I mean, don't other people wonder, why is everything burning down? They seem to not know why. By the way, don't buy Tascam recorders. I've tried the Zoom recorder for a long time, and it would just be missing a few milliseconds of audio here and there when I'm recording the podcast. It would just glitch out for, I don't know, like 100 milliseconds or something, or maybe 200. It was just crazy. So I switched over to the Tascam. The PortaCapture X8, I've been using that for a while, and the Tascam just randomly freezes like Windows. It's just like you're recording, and it's just, you look down, and oh, it's not counting the time anymore, and it's just frozen, and nothing works, and you have to pull the batteries out and reboot it. Isn't it amazing that nobody can make, apparently, an audio recording device that just actually works? I mean, does anybody test anything? So I purchased something from Rode. you know, RODE that makes the microphones, and they have a podcasting platform now with built-in recording. So I just bought that. We're going to try that starting in a couple days. It's got some built-in reverb effects and things like that. So we'll see if that's any better, and hopefully that thing won't glitch and freeze like everything else does. It's just, I'm telling you, I know it's kind of a pet peeve of mine to have audio recording equipment that doesn't record audio correctly, but it's indicative of the world in which we live where nothing freaking works. You know what I mean? And nobody knows what they're doing. Like I took my diesel in to get the oil changed at one of these like oil change places. And I'm like, okay, this engine needs some special oil. It needs an oil called Zero Weight 20. It's a really thin oil. And I said, do you have Zero Weight 20? And they're like, no, we don't have Zero Weight 20, but we just have, you know, really high-end synthetic diesel engine oil, like all-purpose diesel. And I'm like, no, this engine requires Zero Weight 20. It's got some special specifications, you know, from the manufacturer. And you got to have Zero Weight 20, or otherwise I can't do it here. Well, we don't have it. All right, I'm leaving. So I go home, and I change the oil myself. And, of course, at that time, the oil is quite hot because I had just driven the vehicle. So, you know, I'm crawling around underneath the vehicle and taking the oil drain plug out. And it's like, hot. And of course, I stock the oil myself, and I stock the oil filter. Because I have backup supplies for, you know, all the engines, obviously, because I'm the health ranger. So this is, I always have backup parts. And so, you know, I'm changing it myself, and I'm thinking, man, you really do have to do everything yourself these days. There's almost nobody out there that knows what they're doing. Have you noticed that? Often at the banks, often at the doctor's office, they really don't know what they're doing a lot of the time. You know, they don't even understand ivermectin. They'll probably be telling you to mask up again soon. What, did you not read any of the multiple studies showing that masks do not work? They're not evidence-driven. They're just obedient, you know, propagandists. But everywhere you go in society, things don't work anymore. Have you noticed that? So more and more, you just have to do everything yourself. And, I should have just changed the oil myself anyway. It's like, why even try to get somebody else to do any of this stuff? It's faster to just do it yourself. You know, in most cases, it's like, gee. I guess I should relish the opportunity to change the oil on a combustion engine, given how rapidly the globalists are trying to make sure these engines disappear. You know, one day, if they get their way, this will be something that you'll pay to do because it'll be in a museum. You'll be like, really? People used to drain hot oil out of a drain hole in the bottom of the engine block? Oh, yeah, we did that. That's why you keep large pieces of cardboard around to put underneath it. And you're going to get hot oil on your face if you don't know what you're doing right. Here's a headline from redstate.com. 14 American cities aim to ban meat, dairy, and private cars by the year 2030. No soup for you, and also no vehicles for you. In a move that is downright daffy, they say in the article, not to mention leaning hard into totalitarianism, 14 American cities are aiming at what is sure to be an elusive target, banning meat and dairy consumption and the use of private automobiles in just 7 years. Mm-hmm. So this is called the, 14 American cities, part of the C40 Cities Climate Leadership Group. And their goal is 0 kilograms of meat consumption, 0 kilos of dairy consumption, probably like 1,000 kilos of crack on top of that. Three new clothing items per person per year. What? Three. Your clothing quota is 3 items. It's 2 socks and 1 underwear. That's it. That's good luck for the rest of the year. Man, people are going to be going through underwear like crazy. What are you wearing there? Oh, I don't know. It's pretty much gone. 0 private vehicles and 1 short-haul return flight every 3 years per person. So you get to fly on a plane once every 3 years. I mean, that's if you're even still living after lining up for the jabs. You get to have 3 pieces of clothing per year. Choose wisely. It seems like women are at a disadvantage here because they need all these extra pieces like bras. Shouldn't women be given like a +1 clothing allowance allotment? You know, seriously, and women just have a lot more clothes. I think guys are like, give me some underwear and some breeches and some socks and a shirt and I'm good. Women are like, I need yoga pants and I need a scarf and I need a halter and I need, you know, all this stuff. Now, 3 is not going to work for the typical American woman. I can guarantee that. 0 kilograms of dairy consumption, but of course you can have unlimited soy boy snowflake beverage. Unlimited soy boys. And 0 kilograms of meat consumption. What does that mean? You have to leave the city to get a hamburger? But then you don't have a vehicle. So what are you supposed to do? And you only get 1 flight every 3 years. I know where people are going to fly. They're going to fly to Texas for barbecue. They're going to load up on underwear and barbecue in Texas and bras. And take it back home on that trip. That trip is going to be a meat and bra sourcing trip. I guarantee it. Can you imagine these people? Are they going to ban people from bringing it in? Oh, ma'am, you've been pulled over because you have more than 3 articles of clothing in your private vehicle. I count 4 socks there. Your limit's 3. Well, which sock should I throw away, officer? They all look the same. I don't know. Well, how about you throw away the one hanging off your nose ring? Crazy girl? Okay. I get carried away. But what? Good luck. This is supposed to be done in Austin, Texas. By the way, I can't wait to see this. I could dispatch people to go in there and take a look. How's that going? Because pretty much every restaurant in Austin, except a few vegan restaurants, they serve meat. So what are they going to do? Like ban meat in the restaurants? Boston, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, Miami, New Orleans, New York City, Philadelphia, Phoenix, Portland, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., and Seattle are all on board with this Future of Urban Consumption report. Now, I have an observation to share with you. Remember the other day when I said that the climate cultists say that human activity causes climate change, and the only way to make humans inactive is to kill them, and thus murdering humans is their solution to climate change. That's why they all support depopulation and mass extermination. Well, I ask you the same kind of question here. How would you achieve 0 kilograms of meat consumption in an entire city in 7 years? How could that be achieved, given how much people like to eat bacon? You know, and sausage, and ham and potato soup, or whatever they're, you know, pepperoni on their pizza. How do you get to 0 kilograms of meat consumption? The answer is obvious. They kill everybody in the city. And then they have 0 kilograms of meat consumption because they all dead. That's how you get there. 0 kilograms of dairy consumption. See, it also applies when there's 0 humans living in the city. You have 0 dairy consumption. 0 private vehicles. Oh, how do you get there? Oh, they kill everybody. 0 private. See, these are actually, in the minds of the terrorist globalists, these are achievable goals. 3 new clothing items per person per year. Well, they only really need 1. The sheet they bury you in, if they even bother. You know, this is all achievable in all these cities. Makes you wonder what they have in mind. How exactly are they going to achieve 0 population in Austin, Texas, and Boston, and Chicago, and all these other cities? How are they going to do that? Well, I mean, use your imagination. Lots of ways they could do this. Drop bioweapons on the cities, right? And then call it, you know, COVID 2.0. See how it all fits together? Or they could just shut off the power grid and just let the chaos run its course. The city's become unlivable in about 72 hours. It's done. You either escape or you die. In a lot of these cities, by the way. I've got a new knife coming out. I don't know if I told you about this. That just reminded me. But I co-designed a knife with the Dawson Knives folks. And I said, I want a knife that's all about escaping the city. I want a knife that's a tool and a knife that can pry open windows and doors and, you know, grates and things that people have to get out of the city when the power goes off. And I want to call this knife, guess what? Escape from L.A. And so I actually have a knife coming out that is called Escape from L.A. And it should be available. What is today? Should be available in about 2 weeks is what it looks like. This is a badass knife. And of course, it's made from the Magna Cut alloy that is highly resistant to corrosion and yet very flexible and strong and has a very high Rockwell hardness so it can be sharpened and hold its edge. And yet it bends without breaking, without shattering. This is a breakthrough knife. Look for it soon, by the way. It's called Escape from LA. I couldn't resist. Man. I also have another knife coming out. You're going to love the names. This other knife is a big, it's like a big wilderness knife. It's got a lot of mass on the front of it. It's not a machete or anything like that, but it's a hefty knife. It's like a bush knife, you know? And so I decided to name it Mass Ratio. Because it feels like you're being ratioed when you hold this knife. It's like, this knife is like too heavy for me, you know, for a regular everyday knife. But so I call it Mass Ratio, and I've got some clever names, I think. Well, I don't know. Maybe you think they're stupid. I don't know. But I think they're fun names for all these knives that I have coming out. And so again, the first two are Escape from LA and Mass Ratio. And they'll be available soon. I'll keep you posted about that. By the way, you know how else the tyrants can kill everybody in these cities? They can blockade them. I mean, every one of these cities I mentioned, it just has a few routes in and out, a few highways or interstates typically, maybe a railroad track here and there if you want to get directions from the hobos or whatever, but or if you want to risk it, hiking the tracks and see how that goes. These cities can be blockaded very easily, and guess what would be the excuse to blockade the cities and starve everybody out with a siege warfare tactic? Guess what the excuse would be? Oh, COVID 2.0 can't let people leave the cities. They might spread the virus. So they got to lock them down. They got to blockade them. Nothing in, nothing out, no food. And then everybody in the city, I mean, talk about a survival scenario. Is like, oh, you get to survive on whatever's left in the city. I could just see people trying to escape on paddle boats and kayaks in Austin, especially. You can rent kayaks in Austin, and you can kayak the Biosludge River, which is known as the Colorado River, by the way. And I think it's called Lady Bird Lake in Austin. it should be called the Biosludge Bayou or something, because it is all the cities flush their sludge into this river, and people are like happily kayaking, isn't this fun? You're floating on human feces. It's like I look at these kayakers, I'm like, you have any idea the toxic load that is keeping you buoyant right now? If you tip over, you have any idea? Man, woo, people do it. Anyway, they're going to be escaping in kayaks or trying to get out of the city when the blockades kick in. Oh my goodness. I mean, just imagine the libtard zombies fleeing cities like Austin and then like 20 miles down river in some rural town. All of a sudden, like these blue-haired freaks start pulling up in kayaks. Like, what is this? Is it an alien invasion? Martha, grab a shotgun or whatever, you know. It's like blue-haired aliens rolling up on them boats. I mean, oh, this is... the scene is going to be just apocalyptic. Unbelievable. Someone complained one time, by the way, that every time I want to make something sound kind of funny and stupid that I use a Southern accent. I'm like, why do you use a Southern accent? It's just funnier. I don't have anything against Southerners. I am a Southerner. It's just funnier. And you can't do a British accent. I mean, it's just not as funny. You know, Martha, grab the shotgun. Aim it at the blue-haired individuals who are marching towards our shoreline. And fire away. Actually, that does sound kind of fun. Ridiculous. If John Cleese were saying it, you could imagine John Cleese saying that as part of a comedy bit. That would be funny. But Southern sounds even funnier. Actually, personally, I wouldn't greet them with a shotgun. I would greet them with extra chlorine dioxide so they can sanitize away the biosludge that they just floated through. That's my role as the health ranger. The blue-haired Austinites getting out of the boats. Chlorine dioxide for you. Chlorine dioxide for you. Chlorine dioxide for you. Sanitize and sanitize and sanitize. Don't forget, under the armpits, sanitize. They're like, what is this? What is chlorine dioxide? We feel so sick from breathing in the biosludge fumes. You just floated downstream in your own feces from Austin. Thank you. Yeah. You normally send it our way and we deal with it. Now you are swimming in it. That's called karma, bitches. Anyway, bottom line, obviously these cities are going to be murder zones. You know, hospitals were murder zones during COVID-1. Cities will be the murder zones during the climate lockdowns and perhaps COVID 2.0. Cities will be made unsurvivable on purpose. And so if you were to add up how many times I've warned everybody, you know, get out of the cities, it's probably 1,000 times just in the last few years. But let me make it 1,001. Get out of the cities before the blockades or the lockdowns or the bioweapons release or whatever they're going to do. Before the power grid goes down and the food doesn't show up. You notice food supplies are kind of running short across the country. Have you noticed some things missing at your local stores? Yeah. Selection not as much, quantities not as much, and it's a lot more expensive. Again, all by design. You know, if they shut off the food deliveries to the cities, those cities erupt into just total chaos, you know, in 72 hours or less, probably. And then mass starvation kicks in. People start to get crazy desperate a few days later. And then it's like all insane. So that's when you want to be as far away from the cities as possible. You really want to be in some real rural county of Arkansas or maybe, you know, West Texas, in the high desert or something. Far, far away. Maybe in Wyoming, rural Wyoming, or East Idaho, something like that. Just get far away from the zombies. Hey, good news. Karen Kingston texted me today on one of the comms apps that we use, and she says she's okay, and she really appreciated the outpouring of support and concern. And, you know, as I said yesterday, she posted a little Substack piece just saying, you know, apologies and reconciliation. And she's just asking for people's understanding about some pretty bizarre things that she's been through over the last 30 days, she said. So anyway, I just want to let you know she did reach out to me. We didn't talk much. I just said, Karen, you know, take all the time you need. And whenever or if you ever want to come on, if you want to talk about what happened or not, it's all good. It's up to you. We're just glad that you're safe. And that's enough to know that. So, you know, I'm really glad that was the positive outcome there. Hey, I have a new goal. I have a goal for the cities of America. How about by 2030, instead of zero cars, zero meat, zero electricity, zero clothing items, zero dairy? How about, what if we had zero Democrats in charge? How about that? Just vote them out. Zero Democrats. That would be a much more noble goal than zero carbon dioxide. You know, zero Democrats ruling over your life. Just vote them out and keep voting them out forever. Oh, and you have to stop the cheating because obviously they can't win without the cheating. They're not voted into office, obviously. They're cheating their way in. So you have to, I guess you can't just vote them out. You have to stop the cheating as well. And, you know, effectively dismantle the Democrat cheating machine. But, you know, instead of net zero carbon, how about net zero Democrats? How, you know, in charge? How about that? And then we get our lives back. That would be a noble goal. But of course, it's not just Democrats either. There's all these rhino Republicans too. So maybe just say, how about the goal should be net zero tyrants in charge? Net zero, you know, bureaucrats ruling over us. That's a noble goal. A goal of freedom and liberty and, you know, individual rights, human rights and free speech and financial freedom and all this stuff. That should be our goal. That's not going to happen if people comply with COVID 2.0. I'm still stuck on the 3 new clothing items per person per year. Does a pair of shoes count as 2? And what about a pair of underwear, as it's called? It's called a pair for some reason, but it's only one thing. It's not like you get 2 underwears and then that's a pair. That is called a set of underwear. But if you're talking about one underwear item, it's called a pair, which makes no sense. So does that count as 2? Someone should ask the climate cultists, does one pair of underwear count as 2 items against my annual allotment of 3? And do you realize that if underwear counts as 2, you can only get one other item, which might be a scarf. And if you have underwear and a scarf, you could go to Halloween dressed as Hunter Biden. See how that works? Hunter Biden, underwear, whitey tighties, and a scarf. Mm-hmm. Because daddy's in the house with his crack, his cigar, and his whitey tighties. I dare you to go trick-or-treating like that. Just say, I'm prepping for 2030. I'm prepping for the future of urban consumption. You can even run around in your underwear like that. Say, I'm saving the planet. Don't you know? I have reduced my consumption of clothing to the bare minimum. And frankly, the more you have hanging out in that scenario, the more effective the message. I'm conserving cotton. We don't want to waste cotton now. Conserving it. Just run around. Oh, if anybody gives you any crap, just say you're trans. Oh, you're trans. You can do anything you want. You could just run around nude, I guess, in children's playgrounds or whatever, because that apparently that's all allowed now in Democrat cities. And in the UK, right? You can just twerk in the faces of little boys or something, if that's what gets you off. And apparently the government's like, yes, that's so progressive and tolerant. Okay, I'm getting carried away, which tends to happen. But I'm sorry, I can't stop it. It's just that if they go to this clothing restriction, do you realize there will be underwear refugees fleeing the cities? Like, seeking out extra pairs of underwear, like, I made it to the countryside, where there's a Walmart with Fruit of the Loom. Woo, freedom at last, you know, just loading up. Yeah, that's what we're going to see, apparently. And they'll be chowing down hamburgers and drinking milk and eating cheese. It'd be like a giant textile fart fest buffet happening across rural America. Can you imagine? All right, before I say something truly crazy, let me divert to the interview with Michael Yon that I promised. And let me also add that as you're getting prepared for all the insanity that's coming, definitely keep us in mind, healthrangerstore.com, where we have, of course, certified organic and lab-tested, lab-verified foods, superfood supplements, a whole lot more. And we have even freeze-dried fruits sealed in number 10 cans for super long-term storage, many years. And a lot of people forget you got to have the fruits, you know, for all the nutrients and vitamin C. We got freeze-dried blueberries and strawberries and mangoes and all kinds of things. Plus, of course, the microalgae, spirulina and chlorella, as well as freeze-dried vegetables like kale and green peas and things like that. So a lot of good stuff. HealthRangerStore.com. Plus all the immune-boosting supplements that you probably already know about. You want to boost your immune system, keep yourself healthy, be ready for whatever happens in terms of insulting your immune system. Support us at healthrangerstore.com, and we will continue to fight for your human rights and your medical freedom and your freedom of speech and everything else that we stand for here. So thank you for your generous support. All right, now we're going to go to Michael Yon, who joined me in studio with a bombshell interview about how the U.S. government is actively funding the invasion of the United States of America with military-age males who are not Americans. This is happening right now. It's happening in Texas, where Governor Abbott is apparently depositing illegals in other cities all across the country, spreading them out. But this is happening in Texas and, of course, other states as well. So enjoy the interview. Take care. All right, welcome to today's interview here on Brighton.com. I have in studio with me a special guest, Michael Yon. Of course, is one of, he's the most prolific independent journalist now that's been at the Darien Gap and on the border in Texas and documenting with Ann Vandersteel, by the way, who I also interviewed here, documenting the invasion of the United States and also the construction of the migrant city in Texas. And let's start there, Michael. But first of all, welcome to the studio. It's great to have you back.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, we just came off the border to come up and get ready for the next phase of our Operation Burning Edge. And one of the things we're going to do on Monday is fly over the Colonia north of Houston. A Colonia means colony in Spanish, right? It can have two meanings in particular. One is like a slum, and also it means like a colony, like colonization, right? And that's clear. This is a clear colonization. In fact, they even call it Colony Ridge. It's just north of Houston. It's in Liberty County. We call it Abbott City.
So this is a city that's being constructed specifically for illegals to come in and live and occupy Texas.
Yep. It's 200,000 people. And I've already flown over it a couple times. I went there with Todd Bensman a couple months ago. It was very big. We had a small drone up, and we looked around and said, wow, this is too big. So I said, let's go to the airport. So we went over to the airport, came back with an airplane, and it was still too big. We could only get to about 1,800 feet that day because of cloud cover.
And whoa, whatnot. So you're talking about many square miles.
Maybe 35 or 40. We're unclear how many square miles. And so we're still working on making sure we've got our facts straight on the property lines. And so I came back with a helicopter. And about on July 30th, a friend over there donated helicopter time and airplane as well. So we did six flights on July 30th. We're going to go back on Monday with a helicopter again, take three congressmen up. And Vandersteel and I are going to do that and take a few other people and look at this because it's growing like crazy. Now, the developer is named Trey Harris, William Trey Harris. He donated $1.4 million to Governor Abbott, right? I call him, some people call him Governor Abbott. I call him the World Economic Sector Chief for Texas or Texas Sector Chief. Uh-huh. In fact, he just, Abbott just had a small business summit in McAllen about, I don't know, 10 days ago. And we were down there. We went to it because we were on the border. And he made no mention of the border, no mention of the electrical grid. It was all about, you got to keep in mind, McAllen or RGV, the Rio Grande Valley, is an important area for the World Economic Forum. This is kind of flying under the radar. I mean, people know about, say, Panama, how important that is, or even Netherlands. It's more dawning on people as time goes by how important Netherlands and Japan are, right? But also there's other places that people might not consider, like RGV Valley, the Rio Grande Valley, right there on the Mexico border, partly because the Brownsville port's right there, right? Uh-huh. And partly that's the huge trade area for Mexico and United States. So right, they're building a corridor, the I-69 corridor, all the way up to Canada. And it goes through Detroit. And World Economic Forum has started
the
headquarters.
So this is the whole NAFTA realization actually coming true, which means Ross Perot was right all along, of course.
He was. I thought he was wrong, but I was pretty young then. But that's no excuse. But he was clearly right.
Yeah, yeah. As you said, the giant sucking sound. And right now, the giant sucking sound, you know, is all across the border, and as American cities are collapsing and the American people are being replaced. That's the big critical aha in all of this. The American people are being slaughtered. You know, they're being subjected to economic collapse, vaccine depopulation, bioweapons, and then they're being replaced with these migrant cities.
Huge amounts, roughly 10,000 a day are coming in. Nobody actually knows the true numbers. The Darien Gap, you know, where I spend a lot of time between Colombia and Panama, is overflowing. And the United States, specifically Mayorkas, has gone down there on at least two trips that I was down there and intercepted him twice down there in April of 2022 and April of 2023. I was down there waiting for him both times. He has come down to Panama to expand the migration camp. If you can get your feet into South America, You can get to anywhere in America, in the United States. All you have to do is get your feet in Argentina or Brazil or Suriname, Guyana, doesn't matter. Ecuador, meaning the Chinese fly to Quito, right. Any of these places, Paraguay, and then it's easy to get to Colombia. Once you get to Colombia, straight shot through the Darien Gap, and you can be in the United States in a week or two.
You documented that exhaustively. So if anybody out there is watching this and thinking that that can't possibly be true, you know, I mean, we talk to people thanks to you. Yeah. You went into the camp. What was it, Lajas Blancas? Was that one of the camps?
That's
San Vicente?
Yeah, I think we did it in Lajas Blancas and we did it in San Vicente.
Yeah,
I think we did it twice, right? That's two different camps.
Two different camps.
Yeah.
And the people there were just telling us, yeah, we're on our way to America.
Yeah. And those are two of the major camps there in Panama that the United States funds. I mean, I've been there and the U.S. Embassy says that's a lie. They've told people that I'm lying. And I'm like, our flag is in the camps. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Right.
You put signs in the camps. I mean,
right.
they're lying like what just happened at Lahaina, you know? Mysteriously, the water's not there. Mysteriously, the alarm doesn't work.
Right.
Mysteriously, this is a place
the
they want to take.
Fire department's called off.
You know, if you're going to make real global pandemic, not just the fake, you know, scare with the COVID and get everybody to take the death jab. But if you want to make a real one that really kills a huge amount of people, you're going to want to be out on an island that's quarantined, self-quarantined out there. You know, I've been looking for islands around the world where they might do this. And I've been looking at Hawaii for a while. And, you know, I really think they're going to make a go for taking Hawaii or parts of Hawaii, because this is a place for the rich and the elite to keep. Now, you look at you and Ann talked about, I was watching the show, it was very interesting, very important, about secessionist movements such as Hawaii. I've been watching that one for years.
Yep.
I've flown over and looked at it and that sort of thing. Keep in mind, Hawaii will be owned by someone. It will never go back to the Hawaiians. Not going to happen. It'll be the Chinese or someone. That's the reason that the Hawaiian flag has so many other flags on it, right? You know, it's a fusion of other flags like Russian and whatnot, British. And so the bottom line is the secessionist movements, whereas I feel it myself. But at the same time, if California were to secede, who's going to take it? China, right? Or La Raza, I mean, Mexico,
right?
Right? It could be some fight, but you know, you could end up with literally the PLA Navy, the People's Liberation, basically the Chinese Navy in San Francisco. Or up in Washington State or Oregon. That's highly conceivable, Canada.
Well, and it brings up the question, how quickly is the U.S. really falling apart? Because it seems to me that the acceleration, like we're past the tipping point of being a cohesive society. The cities are just collapsing by the day. The military is collapsing by design from the top down. You know, they're just gutting the principles of the military, and recruitment has fallen off a cliff and so on. You know, government has just become a terrorist organization. The judicial system won't uphold the law. I mean, you know, we're almost at the end, it looks like. What do you think?
Well, the things that you and Alex Jones and others have been saying for years that sounded completely crazy are now almost everybody with a brain accepts it. Now the discussion is when and what's going to actually unfold, which is an unknown. One of the things I've learned about years in wars and studying wars is that those who think that they know how the war is going to unfold, don't listen to them because yeah. It's too complex.
Yeah.
Now, it's easy to get started in a war. It's hard to turn it off. And it's hard to know how because wars are like fires. The conditions change, the rains come, the winds pick up, whatever. And it's the same with wars. Wars like fires, they tend to breed more of themselves.
Yes.
Until they reach some point where, you know, the conditions change or the fuel is burned, and then they abate and people say, we'd never do that again. And then it happens again.
Did you know, by the way, in previous interviews, you talked about how special forces are taught to carry out sabotage in, you know, enemy territory and so on to burn things down. Did you know that in the first 2 weeks of August this year, 9 recycling centers have gone up in flames in America?
Interesting. You know, I did considerable sabotage training in special forces because our mission was secret at the time, but it's past the time limit. I'm okay to say it, was to parachute into Poland and to do disruption against the Soviets, right? And so I got a lot of sabotage training. And one of the first rules, or maybe the first rule as I recall, was never blow anything up that you can burn down, right? And one of the things that you do before or as you burn things down is cut off the fire department and the water. There's even there's even a formula for blowing up fire hydrants. I remember it specifically. I don't remember the formula, but it was basically put a little explosives. It doesn't take much for a fire hydrant, you know.
Right.
A sledgehammer would do. But I mean, but the bottom line is, look what happened in Lahaina.
Absolutely.
No water. No alarm.
They turned it off.
I mean, that was right out of the manual.
Yes.
Right? And so, yeah, I mean, 101. That's not even like advanced sabotage techniques. That's, and there's something called a Carver matrix. All the special forces and CIA guys watching this, or some of the CIA people, if they're in those sorts of departments, would know what the Carver matrix is, right? The Carver matrix is a matrix when you're selecting targets, right? And you want to figure out, and no matter how rich or well off you are, you always have limited assets, right? Whether you're Bill Gates or whatever, you still have to prioritize, right? Your time and your resources. And the Carver matrix is a planning tool for special operators, CIA types, to prioritize their targets. And so criticality, accessibility, recuperability, vulnerability, recognizability. And so these are part of the, so you make this matrix and then, you know, calculate in how much assets you have, how much time on target, these sorts of things. And that's why when I came back to the United States in 2020, the first thing I did was upgrade my protective mask. I went to an Avon FM54. It's the best money can buy, right? Why? Because I know what's happening. I can see it because of my background and what I still do covering conflicts around the world. I could see we're clearly going into civil war. I could clearly see, and I've worn a lot of masks in places like Hong Kong and Thailand and the United States, getting gassed in the things and the various fighting in the streets. And so I've become a connoisseur of fine masks.
Oh, yeah.
And I realized that we could have factory fires. We could have train derailments. And so I got all the latest equipment. And knowing that it's coming, or thinking that it's coming. And now it's here. It's clearly here.
Yeah.
It's important, by the way, to have a good protective mask. And these, remember, the difference between a fire with a lot of smoke in the air and 5,000 people dead is the wind speed and direction.
Good point.
If the wind speed's high and the direction's your direction, the smoke's going to be close to the ground. And all smoke is toxic, especially if it's black and coming from a factory.
Oh, right? Yeah. No, you're just talking about a full-face respirator that can help you escape and help you breathe and get out of smoke.
Right. Another thing that can help you with that now with more modern technology is just a tiny little drone to pop up and look real quick and see where things are at. And should I leave or should I go? Or what is that going on? Bring it right back down. 1 minute you can have it up, eyes in the sky, bring it right back down. You don't have to. I know if there's a big fire, you don't want to send a drone up, obviously, because if there's air assets or something around. But oftentimes it actually is useful, especially if you're just popping it up a couple hundred feet, take a quick look. Hey, that bridge is closed, or, you know, hey, that's actually a train derailed. And let me tell you about the rule of thumb. If you see a big factory or something like that on fire, a refinery or a harbor, the rule of thumb is you should be able to hide that entire incident behind your thumb. And if you can't, keep going. You're not far enough away. That's the rule of thumb. Hold your thumb out and it should be far enough away that it's completely covered.
Wow.
Because some of these after effects are quite dynamic and energetic. And by the way, if you see a large explosion at a factory or a warehouse or something, that's not your clue that everything's safe. Often the biggest explosion is not the first or the second.
Uh-huh.
You'll have a really big explosion. Everybody's like, wow, that's over. Uh-uh. The really big one's yet to come. And it, just go on YouTube. And I've researched this many, many years ago for a book that I was writing. Often that big explosion comes much later and like levels half a town or whatever.
Exactly. Do you have any doubt that there are black ops teams operating in the continental United States right now that are carrying out sabotage operations?
I think it's obvious. And have you noticed the FBI never has a press statement? The FBI never comes up and says, or unless I'm missing it, am I missing any press conferences where the FBI says, let's answer questions about all these fires and and mysterious other things that are happening?
They're pretending it's not happening.
Yeah, and because, you know, one of the things, some of this will be just background noise because fires do happen, right? I mean, there are just forest fires sometimes because a lightning strike or some child playing with a bottle rocket. We know that, right? And so there's always that level X of background noise, but we're way above background noise. And they are obviously hitting the food supply. And the food supply is being hitting, if you look at, there's no truth in the world without context, right? So when you look at the context of everything that's going on, something that you and I have talked about many times is the fertilizer supply, like the nitrogenous fertilizer supply. I was in BASF last year, you know, the big plant that you and I have talked about numerous times.
Right.
And I asked a guy in the plant, I'd spent an hour with him touring around, and I asked him, what happens if Nord Stream gets cut, right? And this was before it was cut, because I suspected something may happen to Nord Stream. And he's like, BASF is dead. Well,
it
Nord Stream was cut.
Yeah.
And so I was at Groningen in Netherlands in March this year during the elections. Groningen is a big, massive, very important gas field, natural gas in Netherlands. I was specifically in Groningen because that gas field is under information war attack to close it. So you can see some of the things I published in March from Groningen, like this may close. And now about a month ago or 5 weeks ago, the Dutch government announced that they're going to close it.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these things, you know, I was just talking with Alex Jones when we were just at his studio. Some of these things, I mean, like you and Alex often look like Nostradamus, but a lot of it's more you're intelligent and you look at things and you study, but it's actually just the courage to see it and say it.
True.
You know what I mean?
True.
I think a lot of people see it, but they don't want to sound crazy to say it, or they don't want to lose their job. You know?
But even Alex says this directly. I've heard him say it many times, that he's not reading the future. He doesn't have a crystal ball, that the globalists admit their plans.
They say what they're doing.
It's all in the documents. You can read the blueprints. You can read the globalist agendas. You can read the WEF, you know, or the climate, or the World Health Organization, their new treaties and everything. It's all right there in black and white.
Yeah. Right? I felt like that too. Like in the Iraq war, people gave me a lot of credit for predicting the Iraq civil war a year and a half in advance of everybody else. And I was like, I never predicted anything. It was ongoing. I was just telling you what I was seeing.
Yeah.
It's like you're telling me I predicted a fire, but I'm like, 911, there's a fire. And everybody's like, there's no fire. Keep hanging up for a year and a half.
Right.
Fire, like, hey, the neighborhood's on fire. It's like, hey, you predicted a fire.
Right.
No, it was clearly going on. It was the same with Afghanistan. When I was in 2006, wrote 12 major dispatches called, one of the series is called The Perfect Evil. I clearly described, and just go back and read those from 2006 and see how it played out.
Oh.
But I wasn't predicting it. It was already there.
Let me give out your website. It's michaelyon.locals.com and also Michael Yon, Y-O-N. Michael Yon, that's your Twitter handle as well. And is there any other channel or platform you want to give out?
Yeah, my Twitter or X now is Michael_Yon or Michael Yon.
Underscore Yon.
Or just look up Michael Yon Jungle. I'm always in jungles and deserts, it seems like.
True.
You know? And, on a point on that, you notice I'm wearing long sleeves, right? And if you call me on this phone, my ringer is Aedes aegypti mosquito buzz tone. It has been for years, right? So if you call me, I hear that. That's the mosquito that spreads dengue and a lot of, there's different mosquitoes, you know, Culex and Anopheles for all those mosquito experts out there and malaria experts and dengue experts. But everybody knows Aedes aegypti as well as like the F-16 of mosquitoes.
Right.
And so I've never, to my knowledge, had a mosquito-borne illness despite spending years and years in jungles and stuff. Because I'm aware of it, I wear long sleeves and things like that. And I don't mess around with mosquitoes. I've been in many, many firefights and all that. I've never been killed. But if something gets me, it's probably going to be a mosquito or a flea or a louse or something.
Right.
Because that is significant danger unless you take protective action. And then it's, you know, danger is quite low, actually.
Yeah, which you do. And I also happen to know you travel with some emergency, you know, medical supplies. I know you travel with ivermectin, for example.
Yep, I do.
Me too. And I have chlorine dioxide with me all the time. In fact, I've got some here in the studio. Look,
yeah,
this is just some that we made in the studio. It was like a couple months ago. It still has some chlorine dioxide in it. But I was taking ivermectin just the other day. Felt a little bit of symptoms and just, you know, did like, I don't know, 1.5 mils of a 1% solution, and it's all done.
You know, the only reason I don't travel with the chlorine dioxide, though, is it's a liquid, and often I'm only carrying my... travel for months with no check-in bags.
Guess what? I have figured out the dry powder version of this.
I need it.
And I've got the ratio for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually three parts sodium chlorite and four parts sodium bisulfate, which is the acid activator. That's it. I mean, that's the formula, folks. And I had my chemist go through the moles and the ratios.
Yeah.
So it's three to four. And you take those two ingredients, you can get them both as powders, and you combine a very small amount, by the way, and boom, in water, they generate chlorine dioxide. Oh, so you don't need liquids anymore.
Good, good. Because, you know, I'm always on airplanes.
Exactly.
Yeah, actually, that brings up another interesting point. People are, during the lockdowns, people are like, how do I travel so much when I'm not vaxxed? And they're like, it's impossible. I'm like, have you actually tried? Or did you just listen to everybody tell you you can't do it?
Oh, yeah, good question.
Yeah, I mean, because I was just, I go by one thing that I learned in Special Forces. Audacity is a weapon system. You know what I mean? Just like walk in and say, I'm in charge here. That's what happened in Arizona, right? That's what's happened with Biden. That's what the World Economic Forum's doing. They're like, I'm in charge
That's
here.
Right. That's what like, Katie yep, Hobbs in charge. Did. She just stole Arizona by asserting it.
I was there. I was over in some place, over in Japan or some place, and the elections were coming. And I said, well, out of all the 2,500 or so counties in America, which one should I go to? I went to Maricopa because I thought that's the most likely one they'll steal. And I flew over to Maricopa, and sure enough, they were stealing it. You know who I called first? Ann Vandersteel. I called Ann. I said, Ann, they're stealing the election. She must have like sped to the airport because she was there within 24 hours. And then did incredible coverage of it. But it's predictable. Yeah. Why was it so predictable for me? Because it's obvious. They don't hide it, like you and Alex Jones say.
Right, right. Now, speaking of them not hiding it, I want to ask you one more question about the sabotage of the infrastructure that's happening in the United States. For many years, I interviewed guests like J.R. Nyquist and so on that were warning about the CCP pre-positioning assets in America in order to activate those assets and to wage war against America's infrastructure. But what we actually find happening is that it's America's own government that's doing that, or black ops teams that are, you know, arm's length from the government.
Right.
So as of this moment right now, I don't see CCP operatives setting fire to food facilities and refineries and so on, but somebody else is doing it. And I'm wondering, you know, who's the greater danger here, right? Is it the communists in China or the communists in D.C.?
Well, the communists in China are not the ones that opened our borders. And they're not the ones that have opened the Darien Gap. And, you know, it's not them. It's not the Chinese in China who are telling the FBI, or maybe it is them. They're telling the FBI not to have press conferences and not to talk about things to watch for. I mean, we know something's wrong with these fires. That's obvious that some of this is clear arson. Very mysterious.
Yeah.
How about that train accident that...
East Palestine.
Yeah, Doc Chambers went up there. Yeah. Or I was just messaging him in the green room, actually. You know, and it happened to hit the Amish area. Interesting, huh? Are they going to try to take the Amish land, just like what's going to happen in Lahaina?
Right. And if they're doing these kinds of operations and it's successful... They can do it to any town or any piece of real estate that they want to seize.
That's right.
You know, and it's like I'm beginning to feel very, very shameful of being associated with this current U.S. empire that is 100% dedicated to just destroying everything around the world. They just bomb and destroy and burn and poison. And that's the model. Right now. And that's not what America stands for. You know, that's not what you and I stand for.
No, that's not what I stand for.
It's the bastardization.
Yeah. It's big E evil.
Yes.
I mean, evil really does exist. We can see it.
But you know, they've occupied the government of the United States of America and the military and so on. And then they've weaponized this to go around the world, destroying everything in sight. I mean, just ask Gaddafi. Oh, wait, he's dead. You know, or Saddam Hussein, or all the countries that America has bombed and destroyed, including Libya and many others, and cutting the Nord Stream pipeline, destroying Western Europe's economy. What's happening to companies in Germany and France and the UK because of the actions of America, which are rooted in terrorism and destruction of civilian targets in the case of Nord Stream? You know, that's not a military target.
Well, these evils are not omnipotent and they're not omniscient. And they are vulnerable. They have many weaknesses. Everybody watching this is in some sort of position to do some form of resistance every day. I'm not talking about violence or anything like that. I'm talking about not forwarding a letter. I'm talking about not returning a call, not, or, you know, just little things that you can do every day to trip them up, because we have tripped them up quite a bit, actually. Otherwise, this would have been over already. That is my flag. I served in the U.S. military. My family came over in 1609 and got shipwrecked on Bermuda. And then 1610 finally got to Jamestown, and it's been had grandfathers fought in the Revolutionary War. And then I have other family that has come more recently in recent times. Yeah. I mean, we're all, I am American. I'm not a citizen of the world. I'm American, period. Right. And I'm not willing to give up California. I'm not willing to watch Hawaii split off and go to China. It's not like Hawaii can just split off and, okay, now we're Hawaiians again. It's not happening like that. You will never keep it. There's people that are too powerful that will come and take it. It's either them or we take it, right? So somebody's going to own Hawaii. It's just a pipe dream to think that a lot of these places, look, this is not just happening to Hawaii. It's happening to Netherlands. Netherlands, where I spend significant time because of these same issues that you see in Hawaii, and Poland eventually will have problems as well. Japan, why Netherlands? Netherlands. Well, there's the two biggest harbors in Europe, Rotterdam and Antwerp, are almost side by side. Rotterdam's in Belgium, Rotterdam's in Netherlands, and Antwerp is in Belgium, right? And so those are two of the top 10 in the world, and they're the two biggest in Europe. And the railway all the way from Shanghai and other feeders in China goes all the way through Asia and goes right to Rotterdam, mm-hmm. right? So there's specific reasons why, like, Bill Gates, as one of his daughters, bought a horse farm in Netherlands, right? I mean, you know, the place that's supposed to be flooded by the global flooding. Why are the rich people now building Tri-State City there, a smart city of 30 million people? And they need that farmland. The Dutch farmers own about 62% of the land, which is actually decreasing daily now.
Yeah.
They need that land to create, first of all, to control food supply. And second, so it's more than just one thing going on. One is to control food supply, and another is to consolidate power in and take Tri-State City. I think that eventually, at this rate, Tri-State City will be sort of the capital of Europe, or it'll be sort of the hub of Europe,
uh-huh.
because of
trade routes.
Because of the Rhine River goes out right through Rotterdam.
Yes.
I mean, that's like the Mississippi of Europe, right?
Right. And China, with its Belt and Road Initiative, it needs access and influence over the ports, the rivers, and the railroads that connect them all.
And that's right? Why World Economic Forum and CCP cooperate so much on Netherlands. They both have those intermediate and short-term goals, and eventually World Economic Forum and CCP will fight. That's clear. But this time they cooperate, you know. And look, RGV Valley here, the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, clearly is sort of a little Netherlands. I don't think that's dawning on a lot of people yet. I mean, look at the harbor there in Brownsville, right? Look at the harbor there, right? And also the border crossings, right? SpaceX is there. Not that SpaceX has anything to do with that, but SpaceX is there for other reasons. Elon Musk took an old launch facility from an amateur rocketry guy. Anyway, but the bottom line is there's a lot of potential in that area. And remember, a lot of the things that decide your future are your geography. Like, if you're in Hawaii, you were strategically important to Russia, Great Britain, France, China, Japan at one point, right? Maybe in the future, Japan, not in the near future for sure, United States, somebody was going to take it, right? And the old Hawaiians recognized that. And that's, again, why you have that fusion flag now. But at this time, countries like Poland, why does Poland always end up in a war? Geography.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I lived in Poland for 2 years. I mean, Poland is, I was just over in Armenia and Georgia, and then I came back for Operation Burning Edge on the border, and now I'm here with you.
Yeah.
But Armenia and Georgia, like Armenia, also has those problems. Armenia is geographically right next to the big bad wolf, Turkey, in which they actually, in Turkish mythology, the wolf is like actually their mother. And that's a side story, but actually that, you know, Turkey wants to reestablish empire and Armenia is in the way. Right.
Yeah.
And I was just there looking at that in Georgia. By the way, Georgia is where Stalin came from. He didn't come from Russia. I was just in his hometown, by the way. No He's kidding. Still a hero there in Gordy, Georgia.
Huh? Wow. Well, I want to ask you about last question. We're going to wrap this up about Russia and Ukraine. And we finally see the West now beginning to acknowledge that Ukraine's counteroffensive attempt has failed and that Ukraine's not going to be able to defeat Russia and overthrow the Russian government and so on. You know, it took them a long time to come to this realization that, you know, you can't fight artillery with press releases, but this is where we are. How do you think this ends up being concluded?
Well, I would actually, you know, I'm always cautious and I usually discount anybody that predicts and thinks they know how a war is going to turn out.
You did say that, yes.
I will say that before this invasion happened, I was down in Morocco with Chuck Holton actually watching weaponized migration happen from Morocco to Spain and also Turkey to Greece. We were in Greece and all that. And we saw that Belarus started to try to push migrants into Poland and into Lithuania. And Poland rejected them, as I expected that they would. Actually, they took in many Ukrainians, but they didn't want a lot of the other sorts that are incompatible. Some fish don't mix well in the same aquarium, and Polish get that. And again, I lived there for 2 years in Poland, right? And so I'm kind of cognizant of their ways. And but when we saw they were pushing them into Lithuania and they were getting in, I contacted some high-ranking people in Lithuania. I was with them in Afghanistan. I kept my contacts. And anyway, they're like, yeah, come on up to Vilnius and we'll get you into a bunch of meetings. So I spent about 5 weeks there. They gave me full access to the migrant camps. They gave me full access to their intelligence and police and military. I was out with them all the time, night after night, day after day, right? And so I got a very full briefing there. And that was when I started saying that something's wrong with, you know, something's going to happen with Russia. That was quite kind of clear. And because that sort of what was happening was a precursor to war.
Uh-huh.
But I've been against this war since the day one or our involvement because right. I suspected how it might turn out. And I was publishing that. And now here we see it. I don't think this will go well for the Ukrainians. I don't see how it could at this point.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think you and I both agree that, you know, for the sake of the Ukrainian people, we want peace. We want this conflict to end. And yet, you know, the West doesn't seem to want to sit down and negotiate any kind of end.
We provoked Russia. That's clear.
Yes.
Keep in mind, when I was in Special Forces, the two A teams I was in as a Green Beret, both of those teams were targeted to Poland, right? So both of my teams, I trained for about 3 years to parachute into Poland. It was extensive training, right? I went to language school for German. I went to language school for Polish. I then, after the army, lived in Poland, unrelated. But anyway, I'm kind of cognizant of the situation, to put it mildly, right? And that we were provoking Russia by moving our border, moving our influence into their sphere.
Yes.
Again, it's like it would be like Russia or China putting forces onto our border
Mexico,
in Canada
yeah.
or Mexico,
right?
Right? And we're begging for it. I mean, we're provoking the bear. And I do think the Russians at this point are more, I mean, it's pretty obvious that they're more rational than the U.S. is. You know, I grew up believing they were always the bad guys. I grew up going to church in Florida and they would talk about communists. I thought, well, it can't be that bad. And, you know, I mean, but of course I was a kid. Then I started going to communist countries after I was out of special forces. And I thought, actually, let me go back to church and tell them it's a lot worse than you ever told me. I mean, it was bad. It was truly worse than I was ever.
Have you been to San Francisco recently?
Oh yeah. I was in San Francisco. I went to language school in San Francisco. A lot of people think the only defense language school was in Monterey, but there was an overflow campus for German and Spanish and Korean in San Francisco.
Really?
And that was the one I went to, right? It was San Francisco.
All right. So bottom line is, I mean, first of all, I want to direct people to your page on locals.com, Michael Yon, yon.locals.com, and also Michael_Yon at Twitter. And you're hosting the Alex Jones Show with Ann Vandersteel next week sometime.
Yeah, what a great honor, and I hope you're going to come down. That's important.
Look, I'll be happy to pop in, but I know you have a lot of other great guests and intel sources that you're going to have on the show. So, you know, I'll just pop in for a little bit. But you know, your Rolodex is quite extensive. You know, you can get a lot of great people on the show, and so can Ann.
So can you.
Well, yeah, that's true. We all have quite an orbit of contacts. That's true. But I just want to thank you for what you're doing. I mean, it's an extraordinary service that you're providing to this country right now, doing what Mayorkas refuses to do, what the Biden administration won't ever do, what the media rejects. And you're doing the job that the media should be doing, and you're doing it very well.
Well, I am American, and that is my flag.
Yeah.
And I mean, bottom line. And I was talking about this with Ann earlier this morning. Both of us have this visceral feeling that we're not going to turn this over to the children without a fight. Like, we're not going to give them a mess without, you know, there's no way we're just going to be responsible for what is landing in their laps.
Yes.
And you can just sit down and watch it happen and be basically a loser. Or you can stand up and be an American. As, you know, as Alex will often say, he'll say things like, we're not jellyfish. You know what I mean? We do have will. There are things that we can do, and we are doing those things.
Indeed we are. And you and Anne, more than most by far. So thank you for all that you're doing, and thank you for being here. We appreciate you, Michael. Always good to have you in the studio. You're welcome here anytime.
Thank you, sir.
All right, and thank you all for watching today. Of course, I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com, with guest Michael Yon in studio. And also check out my interview with Ann Vandersteel, because they joined here together. They were visiting here on the same day. And as always, feel free to repost this interview on other platforms and just give credit to Michael Yon and give a link to his Locals and Twitter account. Thank you for watching today. God bless America. God bless each and every one of you. Take care. So, Michael, I know the Satellite Phone Store, which has been our sponsor for quite some time, they've provided you quite a bit of gear, SAT123.com, for those who want to go visit the website. Can you tell us about how you're using that gear in your travels and you know, in your journalism efforts and your war correspondent efforts?
Oh, yeah. The satellite radios that SAT123.com provided were vital. As you know, I'm down in Darien a lot. That's why my Darien Gap in the jungles. That's why my Twitter handle is Michael Yon Jungle.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
And the problem with jungles and radios is they just don't mix well together for many reasons. And so at one point last year, I had a team down there on the ground and we couldn't make comms. So I had to charter an airplane to get over the top of them to reach them. It was like, you know, PBR Street Gang, this is almighty. You know what I mean? Talking to, you know, trying to make comms through the trees, right? And,
right.
Anyway, then I contacted you about, you know, more high-tech radios that we can use, that, you know, things have changed since I was in Special Forces. And so you mentioned SAT123.com, and they provided five satellite radios that are really awesome. And so now so that people understand how this works, it's a walkie-talkie, not a sat phone, but it's a walkie-talkie that hits the satellite.
It's a push-to-talk. It's a PTT.
And it's awesome because we're just using them I'm often on the Texas-Mexican border as well.
Yep.
And down there's a lot of places that have no cell coverage.
That's right.
And if you got regular walkie-talkies, PTTs, I mean, they're good for 2 or 3 miles or whatever. They're line of sight, but often it's hill over dale, and you need something better, and the phones are too slow, or they just don't work. So we were just using five radios down. We got little magnetic antennas for the roofs of the vehicles, and you can screw in the antenna when you're just walking out.
And so, just so our audience knows, all you need is a clear view of the sky.
That's it. And even in the jungle, that's easy to get.
Exactly. If you're just looking straight up, you can see the sky.
Yep.
You just can't see horizontally across the jungle through the thick of it.
Yeah. It's easy to find a clear sky in the jungle because usually you're near a river. And the rivers have always a clear view of the sky.
Right.
I mean, if it's a significant river.
Good point. So what about the battery life? Are they holding battery life well?
So well that none have even come close to wearing out.
Is that right?
Every time I check it, it's still almost full.
And so
it's not like we use them a lot. We're not like, you know, communicating hours on end. We're just like, hey, meet me at such and such and that sort of thing.
And then do you have all five on the same group, where one person says something and the other four hear the same thing?
Yeah, you can do them in different ways.
Yes.
And so they come in a group of five radios, and you go onto the website so I could talk with somebody in Tokyo with these, but you have to put a bubble around the area of that radio, right?
Right. You have to define the geographic boundary.
Exactly.
Right.
So let's say we're here, and then there's somebody in Tokyo and somebody in South Africa and somebody in Australia. We can talk in the same chat group or same voice group as long as we define where all the radios are.
Right.
And it only takes like a minute to define them.
Yeah, and you can define a pretty big area. I've defined an area of like pretty much all of Central Texas all the way up to Dallas-Fort Worth down to San Antonio.
Right.
For my group.
And if you leave the group, just redefine it. But again, once you've done it just a few times, you can do it in 30 seconds or a minute. I mean, it's basically like sending, it's not sending an email. You just go in there, click, 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 click. Okay, there's my boundaries.
Yeah.
Close.
You just log in.
Yeah. And it's done.
Yeah. Well, very cool. I'm really excited that you're finding a lot of practical uses for this technology because, you know, the satellite phone company has, they've donated a lot of gear to a lot of people, including some people who are right now doing rescue work in the Lahaina, Maui fires.
I was just wondering when that fire happened and they had no comms, if they had these radios, I know the ham radios were working because we immediately checked which ham radios were working, but that's not enough to, at least for your family, you can have some comms that work.
Right.
But keep in mind, Hawaii, where I've spent significant time, lots of mountains, right? So, I mean, a regular PTT, a regular walkie-talkies, you know, line of sight.
Right. I mean, every island is a giant mountain.
Basically.
And so you can't talk to the other side of the island on a regular radio.
Yeah.
You got to have the sat radio to make it work.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just go on their website and look.
All right. Very cool. Well, thanks for sharing that real world experience with the gear. And for those of you who want to check this out for yourself, go to SAT123.com. And they've got both the satellite radios and also the Bivy Sticks, which is the two-way satellite text messaging devices that are even more affordable, by the way. So if you're, you know, if you have to leave because your town has been burned out by a terrorist government, then you can actually text your family members and tell them you're okay, and you can even give them your location, GPS, everything, you know, for a rescue attempt, for example.
I've not used the Bivy Stick, but I've heard quite a few people say they're awesome.
I mean, I've got one in my car right now. I can show it. I'd like to see it. Yeah, they're super useful, and my buddies that work the border, the Texas border, as part of the interdicting human trafficking, and I think you know some of the guys, they run those Bivy Sticks all the time. And they turn on the location tracking on purpose so that one small team, like two or three guys, can monitor the location of another team that's actually interdicting a group of human traffickers to make sure that they're okay. If something happens to that team, you've got GPS coordinates and you can call in assistance via GPS.
Right.
So they're very useful, and you just clip them onto your gear. You know, they're super lightweight, and the batteries last days. So... Mm. They're really great.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to getting back down on the border. And again, sometimes the only way we communicate is with devices like this.
Yep.
Actually, I need to put one of these radios in your location so when I'm down in the jungles, I can actually reach you.
Yeah, well, I've already got some radios. I could just join your group, I think.
Oh, we'll do that.
Yeah, we could just combine our teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Wonder Twin powers. Activate.
Wonder Twin.
All right. Well, thanks for watching, everybody. Mike Adams here with Michael Yan at the Brighteon Studios in Central Texas.